Amen. Thank you, Josh and the band. All right, grab your Bible. Hey, thank you. Yes, for real. Great job, team. Grab your Bible, grab a journal, grab your booklet that you should have grabbed on your way in. There are silver booklets, if we can get the house lights up. There are silver booklets at the door to your left for those who are staying at the Pine Cove Timbers. And there are purple booklets at the back of the room. Schedule staying at Pine Cove Shores. That should have your map in there, should have your schedule for the weekend that you can follow along and know when and where you need to be, when and where. So grab your Bible, grab your journal. We're jumping right into God's Word and jumping right into our first message for this weekend. So I'm going to start with a question. How many of you have ever been in a situation, maybe with someone or having some sort of experience, and your thought that continues to come to your mind is, I want to go home? How many of you, like, you have been there? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most of the people in this room. Okay, well, I'm going to start by sharing with you really what I feel is one of, those watershed moments in my life, one of those moments that the Lord used in amazing ways and continues to use in my life. It was when I was 14 years old and I just started going to my church's youth group. And they were playing this game, which if you've ever been to any youth group ever, you've played this game, where apples were strung on a stick, or on a string, sorry, high above you, and the game was you had to try to eat the apple faster than the other contestants. So imagine like a string all the way across the front of the room with a ton of apples on it, and everyone that was playing the game was trying to eat the apple without holding it with their hands, just using, you know, your teeth, and the fastest person to finish it would win not $150 to Lulu, but, you know, some other prize. And I remember I was 14, and I was 4'10", maybe, on a good day. And I wanted to play this game, and I was so excited. And so I went up. I think we even were blindfolded. I remember it as clear as day. And the unfortunate thing was, I couldn't reach the apple. Like, it was, you know, too high for a 4'10" person to try to eat this apple. So everyone else is eating their apple and the game is going on, and I'm just like, you know, like trying to play the nuzzle game with the wrong game, trying to eat this apple. And I remember, like, so vividly, as people older than me, people who knew me, and all I could hear was the laughter and the teasing. Like, he can't even play this game. Oh, he's so short. Like, you know, all these different things that my fun of were teasing me with, or just making fun of me in that moment. And I could tell you, it was one of those moments that I've never felt so alone. And in that very moment, I thought to myself, well, you've probably thought to yourself in a similar situation, I just want to go home. And I remember, like, going home after that event, and I think probably the only time I've ever done this, like, genuinely, crying myself to sleep. Like, there was tears all on my pillow because I was so sad. I felt so rejected. I felt so dejected by my peers, my friends. I just wanted to go home. That request, you've been there. Or maybe you know someone who's been there. That request to go home is a desire to feel safe, right? To feel welcome, to feel at rest even. And so with our theme, homecoming, for this weekend, we're going to be discussing home in the sense of a place that is marked by safety, welcome, and rest. Home, to use that analogy, is a place marked by safety and welcome and rest. And in that story that really happened to me, I felt as far away from home as you possibly can, right? And some of you have been there. And we've all experienced even the positive side of that, where you feel in a friendship or with a group of friends or at a certain place, you know, in the world where you feel safe, where you feel welcome, where you feel at rest, right? Maybe it's your house, maybe it's someone else's home. Raise your hand as you think of someone or a group of people or a place that when you're there, you just feel like, you feel welcome. You feel safe, you feel at rest. Like, think about that. Think about that friend. Think about that group of people. Think about that place where you feel that sense of home. Home is where we are safe. Home is where we are welcome. And home is where we are at rest. And this weekend specifically, we're talking about home where we are safe, welcome, and at rest with God, with others, and ourselves. You know, as you think of that person that you feel most safe and welcome and at rest with, or that group of people or that place, did you know that that was God's intent for you to feel that, to experience that sense of home in every relationship, in every instance, every single day of your life? Do you know that that was God's original design for none of us to ever feel far away from home? But here's what I know is true about everyone in this room, that you felt that at some point or another, maybe even right now. You feel a sense of being unwelcome, unsafe, and not at rest. Some of you are not at home with yourselves. And so you're being led and marked by insecurity or anxiety, maybe even suicidal thoughts. Some of you aren't at home in your relationships with others. You know that friend that you haven't talked to in forever, and it was because of some conflict that you don't even remember anymore. Or maybe there's a family member that you've been ignoring, or a friend that because they hurt you or you hurt them, you guys are no longer friends, so you're not at home in your relationship with others. And some of you in this room are not at home in your relationship with God. You've never placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And that's why this weekend, throughout our time, we're going to spend our time exploring how you and I can come home, right? That place of welcome, and rest and safety with God, with ourselves, and with others. And so to set up where we're going for the next few moments, here's what I'm going to share with you. I'm going to share what home was like at the beginning of time, what home will be like at the end of time, and what's wrong with in between. What's wrong with home right now. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. I'll jump through a couple of verses in there. If you've never been to a church, if you've never read the Bible, Genesis is the beginning of the story of the world as we know it. And in Genesis chapter 2, God is creating the world as we know it, and he creates humanity, and he begins to form and filled the world. Genesis chapter 2, we're looking at home, that place of welcome, safety, and rest as it was, okay? Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to point out some things that were true of home then, and then we'll move on from there. So, verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2 says this, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into this man's nostrils. And the man became a living person." So the first thing that we notice about home, this place of welcome, safety, and rest, is that there's life. Home includes life. Verse 8, "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And so at home, we see that there's provision. God caused trees to grow. He caused plants to grow. He caused fruit to be born on all of these trees to make sure he was providing for humanity that he had created. Jump down with me to verse 15 to notice the next thing about home as it was. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. And so at home, safety, welcome, and rest, we see life, we see provision, and here we see purpose. Right? God gave him a purpose. You go into this perfect garden, the perfect Garden of Eden, and you till the land, and you plant plants, and you name fruits, and you name animals. He gives him a mission. Then notice the next thing about home. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out of the one man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. And at last the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man." And this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And so the next thing that we see that is true about home is that there's companionship, right? He was by himself. He was naming the lions and the dogs and the cats, and he noticed that there was a girl dog and a boy dog, and he noticed that everyone had a companion except for him, Adam. And God noticed it, and God said it wasn't good. And so he created Eve, his wife. And so at home, there's life, there's provision, there's purpose, there's companionship. And then verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2 says this, "Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." It's crazy. You know, you've seen the cartoon pictures in Sunday school where Adam and Eve are hiding behind a tree, and you know that you can see that they're kind of naked, but they weren't hiding in reality. In reality, there was no shame. There was no, "Oh my gosh, he's naked," and they're out in public walking around, and they did not feel like they needed to clothe themselves because they were whole with God and with each other. And so at home, let me summarize it for you. Home, as it was, included life, provision, purpose, companionship, wholeness with God and others. I want you to like imagine this with me. At the beginning of the universe, before I trip over these wires, Adam's in the garden and he's walking with his wife Eve, and they're hanging out, and they're just at peace with each other and in a whole relationship with God. They're welcome, they're safe, they're at rest, and they're just enjoying and discovering the beauty of Eden, the beauty of God's creation. And they're walking along and they see a banana tree, but except it doesn't have a name. And so they try the banana and they're like, "You know, I think this tastes like, let's see, tastes like a banana," and they named it. Isn't that crazy? And then they walk along further and they see an orange. An orange, and they're like, "Let's see, it tastes citrusy, it looks orange, let's go with orange," right? And then they walk along further and they're like, "Let's see, it's an apple, so let's just call it an apple." And they're just discovering the world. Think about that for a second. You know so much of the world already. Adam and Eve, when they started out, they knew nothing about anything. They started to create it. They named the things that we know and enjoy today. It's amazing that when you're at home, when you're welcome, when you're safe, and when you're at rest, the fullness of God that you get to enjoy, and the beauty of his creation, and the provision that he has for you. I see you smiling over there. Here you go. Grab yourself that apple. You can eat that one tomorrow at 3:00. For those of you who know that, you do, and if you don't, oh well. Adam and Eve were at home, right? No sickness, no pain, no brokenness, all joy, all provision, all safety. They were welcome, and they were at rest. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an awesome world to live in? Where you're fully at peace with God, fully at peace with yourself, and fully at peace with those around you. I want to live in that kind of world. Let's fast forward to the future. So we just looked at the beginning of time and home as it was then. Let's look really quickly at the future and home as it will be. Okay? So this is at the end of time. In Revelation chapter 21, if you've never been to church, if you've never read your Bible, at the end of all things, God will make everything new. All that we experience right now that we're going to look at, God is going to transform. But let's look really quickly at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll look at something else from Revelation. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 4 says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne," this is so amazing, "saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or no more sorrow, and no more crying, and no more pain. All these things are gone forever.'" That's how home will be in the future. Welcome. Safe and at rest. Revelation 22, let's read a little bit more about home as it will be in the future. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. It says this, "Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street." He's continuing to describe heaven and the recreated earth. "On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be curse on anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever." And so I want to make sure you understand something really quickly. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, if they never sinned, if they never strayed from God's best, here's what would have happened. The Garden of Eden would have continued to expand out as God's kingdom expanded across the earth. So the Garden of Eden is good. It was perfect, but it was incomplete because man and woman were supposed to spread God's name all across the earth, and literally the entire earth was to become Eden. Does that make sense? Like, they started in one location, and as they continued to be in communion with God and with each other and with themselves, they would continue to flourish out and about into the entire world. And as you know, that didn't happen. But when we just read in Revelation 22 and 21, what we saw was the fulfillment of God's plan all along, that this entire world will experience the blessing and joy and richness that comes from full devotion and full perfection with no sin to mess anything up, and what that world will be like. And so Eden was great, but it was incomplete. The future, home in the future, will be better than the perfection of Eden. You know, have you ever been to a place and you go like, wow, that is an amazing, view or amazing scenery? Like, as I just literally typed in Googled, amazing scenery around the world. And I saw a couple of pictures and I was like, I'm in. I want to go to this place. Let's look at a couple of them real quick. I don't even know where that is, but I want to walk through all of those fields and climb all of those. Majestic, looks amazing. You look at that and you go, wow, that is a majestic part of creation that maybe I haven't seen. I think there's another one. Maybe there you go. I just want to be on that lake or that ocean or whatever that is back there. It is God's perfect, beautiful, and majestic creation. And you know what is good news? What is crazy news to think of? When you think of the most beautiful place that you have ever been in your entire life, that the new heaven and the new earth will be infinitely better than whatever you're thinking of right now. And it kind of blows your mind. You're like, how? How can it be better than, you know, the most beautiful thing that I've ever known? It's because the God of the universe will make it right. So we've seen what home was. We've seen what home will be. And so what about now? Let's look at what is wrong with home right now. Why don't we feel at home, safe, and at rest in every relationship with every individual, in every place that we are? Why do we feel even that question come to mind? I just want to go home, somewhere else where I feel safer, where I feel more welcome, where I feel at rest. I'll tell you. Well, the Bible will tell you what's wrong with home right now. Genesis 3, and then we'll be out of here. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. So remember where we stopped off, Adam and Eve, they had life, they had provision, they had companionship, there was no shame, they were whole with each other, with themselves and with God, and everything was awesome. They were naming apples and naming bananas and oranges, all of these different things. And then we get to Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made, and one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. And the serpent says, the enemy, the devil, if you didn't know, says this, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. And so here's the first observation that I want to make you aware of about what's wrong with home right now. You have an enemy who is completely committed. Like, it's his job. It's his every desire to destroy your feeling of welcome, safety, and rest. He is completely committed to destroying any home that you would ever experience. And we see that evidence from the beginning of time. What's wrong with home is that we have an enemy who tells us lies, who feeds us lies, who wants us to stray from the goodness and kindness afforded to us by the God of the universe. He is completely committed to destroying home in your life. So not just Adam and Eve, not just some random person out there. You, student in this room, you have an enemy that wants to destroy anything or any experience of home. Genesis chapter 3, let's keep going, verse 6. The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of it, of the fruit, and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So they got all these leaves and put them together, because for the very first time, they felt this emotion, this feeling, this being shameful. Notice verse 8. When the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. Isn't that crazy? Like, God would just come down and hang out with Adam and Eve. And he came down to hang just like he normally would. And notice the second part of verse 8. Here's what they did. They didn't run excitedly to him, because home as they knew it was ruined, right? It says in verse 8, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. You kind of laugh at that, right? Like, you can't hide from God, right? But they tried to. And probably you do too. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you to not eat? And the man replied, it was a woman. She did it. The woman you gave me, she convinced me to eat the fruit, and I ate it. It wasn't my fault, God. And so here's the second observation that I want you to see from this text about home. What's wrong with home? Remember, first, we have an enemy who's completely committed to destroying any experience of home that you may have. And now, here's the second observation. Home, place of safety, welcome, and rest, is inadequate because humans, from the beginning of time, have rejected God's best and have chosen our own way. From the beginning of time, that's what we have done. God said to do this, but no, I think this looks good. I think this will taste good. I think this will be more enjoyable. I think this is better than what God is offering me. From the beginning of time, humans have thought that and felt that. I have, you have, we all have. And in addition, when we feel like that and we experience the shame maybe that comes from living in rebellion, we hide from God, you know, like they did. We blame others for our mistakes. It was because of her. She convinced me, he said. Or we try to fix ourselves. Oh, we're naked. We feel ashamed. Let's get these fig leaves. Let's sew them together. Let's put it all together. Let's try to fix our lives ourselves. Have you done any of those things before? Decided that you wouldn't choose God's best and you'd go your own way? Have you ever decided to blame someone else, maybe for the hurt and pain and brokenness that you're feeling? Have you ever tried to hide from God as if he can't see you and know exactly what you're doing, thinking, feeling? And then the story goes on in Genesis chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. And then we're done, for real. And the Lord God, after all of this, right, they rejected God's best. They rejected home, this perfect life and provision and companionship and wholeness with themselves, with God, and with others. They were like, no, we don't want this. We want something that we think is better. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skin, verse 21, for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take the fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. And after sending them out, the Lord God stationed a mighty cherubim, which is a huge angel, to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And so, remember Adam and Eve? They sewed their fig leaves together because they knew something was wrong, and so they began to clothe themselves because they were ashamed and they hid from God. And in verse 21 of Genesis 3, we see God's kindness and grace reaching down for the very first time in a moment of sin and brokenness, and God clothes them with animal skin. How do you get animal skin? Answer, you kill an animal. Someone had to die. Something had to die because sin always costs someone something. And so God gave them this new clothing. And so I want to point something out to you. Do you know that every single time, every single day you put clothes on, you're acknowledging two things, whether you believe it or not. You're acknowledging that something's wrong, and you're acknowledging that something has been done about it. Every time you put clothes on, literally your shirt, your shoes, your shorts, your pants, whatever it might be, your fig leaves made from Lululemon, your fig leaves from Nike or Outdoor Voices, wherever you get it from, however expensive or how cheap it is, every single time you put clothes on, you are acknowledging that something is wrong. Something is broken in our world. Something is broken in me. I'm not fully experiencing home, the feeling of welcome and peace and at rest with God, others, and ourselves. And God, in that moment, in the kindness and grace that he bestowed, provided for them this clothing. Right? To show them that he cared about them, to show them that he was willing to do what it takes to make provision for them. And even further on, if you look back at what we just read in verses 21 through 24, remember God's like, okay, we can't keep the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden, because guess what? They might go eat the fruit from the tree of life, and they might live forever. And guess what? If they live forever, they're going to be stuck in this place being displaced from home. Right? They're going to be stuck in this place where they're not welcome and at rest and experiencing the peace that I want them to experience with me and with themselves and with others. God was like, I don't want them to experience that. I don't want them to be stuck. And so I'm going to send them out of the garden, and I'm going to put this huge angel up to protect the entrance to the garden so that they don't come back in. Two significant acts of God's mercy and kindness on the beginning of the first humans, so that you and I could potentially and hopefully experience the radical life transformation that can come from a relationship with God when you place your faith and trust in what Jesus has done on the cross. And so home before was perfect. Home in the future will be even more perfect. And home right now is broken by our own choice, by our own rebellion, by our own decisions that we have made. But God made a way. He killed an animal back then for Adam and Eve. And centuries later, he would kill his son. His son would come. He would live a perfect life, die a perfect death, and raise again from the dead so that you and I can experience more and more of home. God loves you. He loves you so much that millennia before you were even born, he made provision for you to experience life with him. And so between home as it was and home as it will be, God has made it possible for humans to come home. Not because we work hard enough, not because our fig leaves look good enough, not because we have the best excuse, not because we have the right person to blame, but because we have a perfect Savior who loves us and perfectly lived and perfectly died and perfectly rose from the dead. And so while home is broken right now, you and I can experience home as it will be because of Jesus. So my question to you to end on tonight is this: is home something you want? Do you want it? Do you want that feeling of welcome, of safety, and of rest with God and with others and with yourself? Or do you want to be marked and ruled by anxiety and insecurity or suicidal thoughts or broken relationships or a lack of a relationship with God? The choice is yours. Every single one of you has to make your own decision. Regardless of what everyone else thinks or what everyone else does, you have to decide for yourself. You're home when you experience wholeness with God, with yourself, and with others. And one day, those who have chosen Jesus now will experience home finally, fully, and forever. But until then, we get to every single day in increasing measure experience more and more of the life that God intended for us to live. We know it was a possibility in the past, and we know it will happen in the future. But it's not a guarantee that you'll experience home right now unless you surrender your life to Jesus. And that's my prayer for you. That's my request for you tonight. Whether you have been to church your entire life or whether this is your first time to come hang and visit with us, I want you to surrender your life to God, because it is only through Jesus that you'll get to experience home as it should be. So in a moment, we're gonna sing one final song to respond. And then I'll come back up and dismiss you guys. And here are the questions that I want you to wrestle with. all of the students will leave this room, kind of head out on the field, head out there for a little bit as we gather with the leaders in here. But here are the questions that I want you to wrestle with. I want you to write them down. I want you to be ready to share them with the rest of the people in your group. Share them with your leaders. Here are the questions. And it comes straight from the initial breaking of home, right? Here's the first question. What are you trying to hide from God? What are you trying to hide from God? Answer that question truly. Answer it honestly. What are you trying to hide? Like Adam and Eve did when they were in the garden and they were like, oh, we knew you were walking around, God, and we were hiding from you because we were naked and we were ashamed. What are you trying to hide? This is the weekend to bring it to the light. One, it's already in the light. God sees you. He knows you. Every thought, every attitude, every feeling, every action, he knows it. So there's no use hiding from God. Come clean. What are you hiding from God? Here's the next question. Who are you blaming for your sin? Remember Adam? She did it. It was because she convinced me that this was delicious and that it would open our eyes and that we would be like God. And so she convinced me. Who are you trying to blame? Who are you trying to blame for your own rebellious choices, maybe? And the third question is, how are you trying to fix yourself apart from God? How are you trying to fix yourself apart from God? Remember, they were trying to put on those, you know, their fig leaves and make themselves look okay and look right. And God is like, man, nothing that you offer, no amount of performance or activity is good enough. I have to do it for you. And so he symbolically did that by clothing them with animal skin and ultimately did that through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus. How are you trying to fix yourself? Right? How are you trying to fix yourself apart from God? I pray that every one of you would earnestly and honestly reflect on those questions in the next few moments and earnestly and honestly answer them. And through the process, begin to experience more of home every single day. This is your time. This is your chance. Let me pray that you would. God, thank you for these students. Thank you for these leaders. Thank you for all the adults in the room. And thank you for the reminder from your word that the only way we will experience home as it will be is through a relationship with you, a relationship with your son, Jesus. God, I pray that students in this room tonight will answer honestly those questions. What are they trying to hide? Who are they trying to blame? And how are they trying to fix themselves apart? And I pray that as those answers are earnestly and honestly shared, that they would surrender, maybe for the first time, or surrender more fully, giving their life over to you in full devotion. I pray that as we sing this song, that we'd be reminded of how much we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.